Today on the ground level, we're going to be discussing a little about the Iran and Israel war. What did Tulsi Gabbard and Donald Trump say about nuclear weapons? And we're also going to talk a little bit about breaking points and crystal ball. So stay tuned. And welcome back to The Ground Level. I'm your host, Sean. Before we dive into it, please continue to follow us here at rumble.com and The Ground Level. You can also find us on Apple and Spotify and basically everywhere you get your podcasts. Before we dive into the episode today, I did want to open with a brief apology about my last episode. I really thought about this. For everybody that listened, I really seemed to just spent a lot of time ranting. And just as a little background, you know, we are in a time where we are constantly hit with a barrage of nonsensical information here at the ground level when you're, you know, working so many hours a day and you have limited time to sift through the information. And this has been going on for so many years now. And it's frustrating. And then just to see that once again, Israel and Iran are in the middle of a really ugly war that's just at the kind of the beginning here. It was once again just, here we go. You get to a point, and I'm sure many feel just as frustrated with me or frustrated as me. When you see, especially living in the state of Washington, and all the corruption and the lies and the manipulation, and it goes for both parties. They care about only one thing, and that is maintaining power. Using media sources to manipulate you, to twist you, to make you angry, to get you to hate the other side. We are right down to the ground, divided in this country, and it's heartbreaking. It's infuriating. We're the United States of America, and we have people that are constantly manipulating us and ultimately playing with our lives. And the more news that you listen to, even the smaller outfits, not the mainstream media, but even the smaller ones, the alternative medias, they're starting to play the same game. Twist up the words because they have a narrative. They have a motive. I wish we just had news. Here's what was said. Here's what happened. And then you can make your own, you know, informed opinion. But that's just not the case anymore. And it's so frustrating. So our last episode, I was essentially just ranting and raving and cussing up a storm, you know, and behaving in a manner that is the very thing that I'm tired of seeing and is so commonly represented in our society now in America. And it's really sad. So to all of you that listen, I really do apologize about the last episode. And we're just starting here with a new day. We're going to go on and kind of take apart a few things that I've been witnessing. So to dive right into it, you know, as we all know that right now, unfortunately, Iran and Israel, they're just in the middle of this really ugly war. So it just kicked off the other day. And, you know, you can start playing the game of when did this all start? You know, October 7th, did this begin back in 2004? And, you know, it on and on it goes. The Middle East has been, for the majority of my lifetime, just a mess. And right now, you know, the October 7th thing occurred, that horrific situation. And then you can dive into all day long with the conspiracy theories. You know, was that allowed to happen to be the setup so you could, you know, authorize or justify then making an attack against Iran, you know, several 2 years later. This region is a mess, and now missiles are finally dropping, and they're pretty ugly. I mean, just from some of the footage that we've been watching, you know, that Iron Dome defense system is pretty amazing to me. Sitting there watching them knock these down. Well, unfortunately, a few just slip through the cracks and knock out some buildings. Well, Iran is getting hit pretty hard now. They've had some devastation going on as of late. So this is ongoing at the moment. And just to kind of point out, I always like to bring this the map back up and show exactly what we're looking at when you see all these missiles. And then if you zoom out and look at the region, it's important to note exactly what this looks like. And so when you're looking at the map, I always like to return to this here. We're talking about Israel. Now, what, 9 million people? You have Syria, approximately 23 million people. And then you have Iran all the way over there on the other side. They're not right next door to Israel. 92 million, I believe. Now, these missiles are being lobbed over parts of Saudi Arabia, Iraq, parts of Syria. That's just crazy. It's just a recipe for disaster. Now, it's pretty incredible, the technology that they have and all the things that they can do now and in these precise hits. But this isn't going to go anyway soon, or go away anytime soon. I would certainly hope it would. Ben Shapiro has a great episode. It'll be in our show notes today where he kind of suggests an off-ramp. If anybody's familiar with Breaking Points, Sagar does not believe that there is a reasonable off-ramp at this point, that this is just going to escalate into a bigger situation, and an argument for both can be made. What I wanted to explore today is recently it's been all over the news about Tulsi Gabbard, who's the, you know, director of national defense, director of national intelligence. And then you have Pete Hegseth, who's the secretary of defense. And we're all, you know, everybody's familiar with Pete Hegseth. And so we want to imagine, or we would like to hope, that Pete Hegseth, you know, and Tulsi Gabbard, that these two critical departments of our government, they're communicating with each other. And so then the news, you know, they jumped all over when Donald Trump just recently said that, you know, the nuclear weapons are so close to being made. Or, you know, they're the refineries, the enriched uranium. I won't even begin to pretend that I understand anything about how nuclear power and energy, how any of that is set up. However, this is a perfect example of here at the ground level, I only have time to process so much information that they give us. And again, therein lies my frustration, and I'm sure many of you are just as frustrated often. So the question is that Trump had made a statement about, you know, he's been saying for a while about that they were very close to having a nuclear weapon. CNN goes out and goes and says, Tulsi Gabbard, just in March, said that they were 3 years away from a nuclear weapon. Then CNN and MSNBC, Breaking Points, everybody goes, oh my gosh, that's incredible. Trump just doesn't care. Trump is ready to, he's all out warmongering. We've seen for the past, his 6 years or 5.5 years as a president that he had so far, he was not trying to go to war with anybody. He was constantly in negotiations, going to other countries, trying to get this stuff to stop. I'd like to think that Trump has this global idea of a fantastic economy where everybody, especially America. I mean, he loves our country. He'd like to see our country flourish and expand and get better and better and become a superpower. Pardon me. Become a superpower, obviously. Be a dominant force in the economic stage of the earth. So them saying, oh, see, you know, he's not even listening to his director of national intelligence. He doesn't even care what she said. And so, you know, naturally, you have to take time and start sifting through this. And I did want to bring up exactly what Trump said, because I found this interesting. If you listen to his words, it's very important here, and we're gonna bring this up, and I want you to hear exactly what he said. It's a little difficult to see here because he's on the plane and the microphones are going, but you know, I'll also mention exactly what he said here.
You just posted right before we took off that you're not leaving because of a ceasefire. Why are you? Can you elaborate?
Look at it better than a ceasefire. We're not looking for a ceasefire. I didn't say I was looking for a ceasefire. That was Emmanuel, nice guy, but he doesn't get it right too often. But we're not looking. We're looking for better than a ceasefire.
What specifically is better than a ceasefire? What are you looking for here?
An end. A real end, not a ceasefire. An end.
So something that would be permanent.
Giving up entirely. It's okay too.
And there you go. Now, you take from what he said. Does that to anybody sound as if he's just starving for war? And I pause for a moment because I've often heard, I just recently had a discussion with a friend who suggested that the US of A has, for a long time, and up to including Donald Trump, has been a puppet of Israel. And that, I have a tough time processing that. It's such a small-scaled nation compared, you know, to the entire Middle East and Africa. So let that soak in just for a moment, but listen to what he said. Okay? He said that he's not interested in a ceasefire because the words were coming up about the G7. He left from the G7 and, Emmanuel said that, you know, he's going to he's not interested in a ceasefire. Trump has said, I'm not interested in a ceasefire. People spin that to see. He's ready all to go out to all-out war. You just listen to his exact clip there. And the thing that drives me crazy about it is it's very similar to when there were the protests going on. And Trump, you know, that's what they do. They take a little segment out of whomever the enemy is at the time. The Republicans do it and the Democrats do it. Whoever's sitting there in the power, they take that little section of what he said about there's good people on both sides. And then you go back again and you listen to it. And that's not, he was not saying that they're the neo-Nazis are good people. But this is what they do. They took one section of what he said about he's not interested in a ceasefire. And bang, that was it. They rolled with it. And that's what we're going to be getting into a little bit here. I'm going to play a little bit of what a show you may be familiar with, Breaking Points. So then everybody was upset with that situation. Why did Tulsi Gabbard just in March of 2025 say that Iran is 3 years away from having a nuclear weapon? Well, I went and got the video of her saying exactly what she said in that situation. And I think it's very important, once again, that everybody listen closely to what it is she says and that it's not taken out of context. Listen to what she's saying here. Interpret it for yourself. And I will tell you exactly how I interpreted it. And this is not, I do not carry a lens because it's somebody I support. What they say is golden and, you know, that I don't worship golden calves. Everybody's faulty. If everybody who's listened to me and knows me well, they know I can't stand DC, Republican and Democrat alike. That system is so corrupt and faulty, I have no trust in it anymore. But just simply listening to what she said, I'll let you listen to this first, and then I'll kind of give you my take.
He continues to assess that Iran is not building a nuclear weapon, and Supreme Leader Khamenei has not authorized the nuclear weapons program that he suspended in 2003. Iran's enriched uranium stockpile is at its highest levels and is unprecedented for a state without nuclear weapons.
Now, right there, if you listen the way she opened right up, right out the gate, she said, we continue to assess. That's what she says. I want to play it again because it's very, very important here.
The IC continues to assess that Iran is not building a nuclear weapon, and Supreme Leader Khamenei has not authorized the nuclear weapons program that he suspended in 2003. Iran's enriched uranium stockpile is at its highest levels and is unprecedented for a state without nuclear weapons.
Extreme levels of nuclear energy development at unprecedented levels for a state without nuclear weapons. She's clearly right there saying that we continue to assess the situation. Now, did you hear her say, You don't got to worry about them. They're 3 years out from ever having the potential of a nuclear weapon. That's not what I heard. And it drives me crazy. This is a perfect example of what I was suggesting earlier about being fed information. Everybody's doing it now. And I won't say everybody. The obvious, the master of podcasting, you know, Joe Rogan, he doesn't do that. He doesn't have an agenda to bring somebody on to influence you, to twist. He's having conversations. There should be more exactly like that. People that have a discussion. But that doesn't, it's so infuriating everywhere you go. Pod Save America, Ted Cruz, I mean, Tucker Carlson, they've all got their slants and they're trying to influence you instead of inform you. And that's, I've just had enough. And that kind of gets back to what I was saying about yesterday's episode. You know, just yesterday was a bit of a breaking point for me, which is a great segue into what I was just going to discuss on our show today. Everybody may be familiar with Crystal. She is from Breaking Points. As of late, thanks to a good friend who kind of started pointing me in the direction of the show, Breaking Points, can be a very informative show. Its image is that they're coming from both a conservative perspective and a liberal perspective, and that they're really giving you the information so you can decide. And then I have not been listening to them for a long time. I kind of dove in a little bit late into their show. But focusing on Crystal, this is a perfect example of what I'm referring to in the way that she approaches her information. Now, Crystal is very attractive. She's very intelligent, and that's dangerous. She's not stupid in any way, in any stretch of the imagination. She knows exactly what she's doing. And I would even suggest she is the new and improved Rachel Maddow, queen of spin. Twist up the words, sell it as fact, because it's your position. You know, and her counterpart, Sagar, who claims to be conservative. I have my doubts. And again, I've said it many times. I hate the terms conservative and liberal and all this nonsense. It just further divides us. I think you're either a constitutionalist or you're not. You like our foundation. You know that it needs improvement and you appreciate that there's a process. Crystal has what everybody has said. I even hate saying it because it's become so cliche, but it is a real thing, the TDS. And she's even, to a certain degree, admitted that she has that on her show, and she really does. She has nothing but contempt for Donald Trump. You'll never get a positive thing out of her. But she also is one of those people that her affectation in her words is to be trendy. Every word that has a letter E in it, she's going to pronounce it with an A. Every time she learns a new buzzword, et cetera, she'll say it 35 different times in her episode. Or pretext, that's her new one. She loves saying pretext. There we go, pretext. It's not pretext, it's pretext. And that's just a trivial grade school interpretation of her, you know, me just kind of giving her shit, but she's dangerous and she is definitely part of the problem because the only people that are going to take her seriously are the ones that have that like-minded. It's not going to invite people of a different position or a different, you know, political affiliation. It's going to push those people away. And that's not helpful. So then she has Sagar on her show, who apparently, like I said, is conservative. And I just don't really know what to take of him yet. He says some conservative points of view, but he's really, really a pushover to basically whatever she says often in their segments. So I invite you, I'll have this show on our show notes too. You can link over and start listening too. But the point I'm getting at is that I'm going to play a version of her. Now, this is it correlates exactly with what we were just talking about with the, does Iran have nukes? Is Trump trying to start this war? Or is he a puppet of Israel? You know, she doesn't really say that, but that's kind of apparently a sentiment out there that I was not aware of. And what is the problem again? You have to forgive me with what she's saying is that it's all in the delivery. And it'll stir you up if you're of that mindset that Trump is Hitlerian and he's the most evil person that ever existed and nothing that comes out of his mouth is ever truthful. He's an evil rapist. All that, if that's your worldview of Donald Trump, which didn't exist until 20 minutes ago when he had his first term as president, everybody loved the man. Our culture, you know, aspired to be like him. Rappers talked about him, music, everything, movies had his, he had cameos in films. It's suddenly when he wasn't towing the line of the liberal agenda, now that it was just full force, and I won't relive the first 4 years of his presidency. That was just a nightmare, as most of you remember. So again, I want to just play this little version of what Crystal said, remind you of what you just heard now with Donald Trump himself and Tulsi Gabbard, exactly what she said. Because it's very interesting to me that it comes that their choice in words. So let's dive right into this here.
This speaks again to what Trump has been saying about the possibility of, you know, a ceasefire or some sort of diplomatic solution. He says, publicity-seeking President Emmanuel Macron of France mistakenly said that I left the G7 summit in Canada to go back to D.C. to work on a ceasefire between Israel and Iran. Wrong. He has no idea why I'm now on my way to Washington, but it certainly has nothing to do with the ceasefire. Much bigger than that. Whether purposely or not, Emmanuel always gets it wrong. Stay tuned. Now, Sagar, my brain is a little addled at this point, but correct me if I'm wrong. Earlier yesterday, Trump said he wanted to see Iran and Israel get to a ceasefire.
That, a little technical difficulty there. But as you see in what she said, it's all in the affectation. It's an all an agenda. Now, we just heard Trump just say, you know, at one point, maybe he did in the past, maybe he said something about, hey, we got to get this stopped. We have to get a ceasefire. We got to get back to negotiations. But we've also just heard Trump blatantly just say, hey, I was there. I tried negotiating with these people. We gave them a hell of a deal. They basically told us to go pound sand. Hey, you got it. How can you be wrong there? But Crystal likes to sell it as he's a liar. He just said he wanted a ceasefire. Now he's backtracking. No, he's not. You know, Trump's not going to go out there and tell the world in front of a bunch of cameras exactly what his plan is. Now, his world of business and negotiations, he's clearly really good at it. Maybe to a fault. Maybe it doesn't apply on the world stage. Because we've never had a president that behaves in this manner, that really looks at it strictly as a business and negotiations and moving chess pieces and, you know, calling bluffing and all sorts of stuff. I mean, the man's been elected twice. Especially the first time he was elected, that just blew me away. The people like Crystal from The Breaking Points, I highly recommend go catch some of her episodes and really listen to when she goes off on Trump. She always spins around what's said, or she takes little clips of what he said and then sells it in a certain direction instead of playing exactly what I just did for you here. And go back, listen to it yourself. In fact, let's do that one more time. I want to play this, and just what we're going to do is I'm going to listen to what she says first, okay? Then we're going to jump over to Trump when he's on the plane. And then we're going to listen to Tulsi. Now, of course, the Tulsi thing, you know, that was actually, we're not going to play that. But I just want you to hear what Trump says. It's just frustrating. Okay. So let's bring that back up here.
This speaks again to the, what Trump has been saying about the possibility of, you know, a ceasefire or some sort of diplomatic solution. He says, publicity-seeking President Emmanuel Macron of France mistakenly said that I left the G7 summit in Canada to go back to D.C. to work on a ceasefire between Israel and Iran. He has no idea why I'm now on my way to Washington, but it certainly has nothing to do with the ceasefire. Much bigger than that. Whether purposely or not, Emmanuel always gets it wrong. Stay tuned. Now, Sagar, my brain is a little addled at this point, but correct me if I'm wrong. Earlier yesterday, Trump said he wanted to see Iran and Israel get to a ceasefire.
And you see, this is a perfect example of what I'm referring to. She's using that to just put this position that Trump is lying to you. He's lying to you. He's nonstop lying to you. That's all he's doing is lie, lie, lie. This is the exact type of thing that I'm talking about. Even our alternative media, the one that we were so excited about, is doing the same shit that the mainstream media does. And so I want to go back over here and let's listen to Trump again. And you take from it what you think. I think it's pretty clear what he was saying here.
You just posted right before we took off that you're not leaving because of a ceasefire. Why are you? Can you elaborate?
We're looking at better than a ceasefire. We're not looking for a ceasefire. I didn't say I was looking for a ceasefire. That was Emmanuel, nice guy, but he doesn't get it right too often. But we're looking for better than a ceasefire.
What specifically is better than a ceasefire? What are you looking for here?
An end. A real end, not a ceasefire. An end.
So something that will be permanent.
Giving up entirely. It's okay too.
And there you have it. I mean, you know, that's not what he said. Now, he may have said something similar. I mean, he clearly even points out about Emmanuel and what he said. It's just so frustrating. And so I really advise everybody, do your best to sift through it all. And it's tough. It's tough. I'm engaged to as much as I can be. I point out all the time that was the entire point of the Ground Level show is to show you that I'm the most average of American that you can be, trying to take care of his family, paying his bills, working a lot, running a business, pay taxes, all that. In a sense, suffering like everybody else under this tyrannical government, especially here in Washington State. It is exhausting just getting through a day because of all that's going on. Then, I am engaged to as much as I can because I want to be and I want to be informed. And so I sift through this. And then that is just an added layer of exhaustion. Most people don't. Most people are going to work. They're tired. They don't have that last little bit of energy to start sifting through. So they go to those that they trust, and that's perfectly fine. It's perfectly understandable. And then those people are abusing their trust or betraying their trust by twisting and spinning, to pull people in one direction, to get people against each other. And it's sad. And when I really think about it, it's so heartbreaking watching what's happening to my country. And I got no problem saying, I mean, I've had some pretty glassy eyes as of late, watching some of the stuff that's happening in our nation. Feeling not only exhausted, but helpless and going, there's nothing I can do. You see the madness on the streets of Seattle and L.A., Chicago, Portland, Oregon, liberal cities, mind you, where they're burning down buildings, setting cop cars on fire, throwing bricks at people, water balloons of piss at people. And you think to yourself, there is no way I could pause that person and go, let's have a conversation. Where did this many people come from? Thousands of them. So hell-bent on the destruction of our country, pretending that that's some type of voice, that's that some type of protesting. No, it's domestic terrorism is what it is. If anybody's familiar with Brandi Cruz here in Seattle, Washington, videos of her, right? Look it up online. Look her up online when she went down to some of these protests. They surrounded her and her cameraman and an assistant. I don't know if it was a bodyguard, but they started spraying bug spray in her face, all with masks, just being dirty, rotten pieces of shit. Last time that my wife and I went to Seattle just to drive up there, and this was 2-3 years ago, we're just driving through Westlake. Used to be fun. Years and years ago, and I'm talking well over a decade ago, my wife and I, we used to take our kids when they were little and go up to Seattle and hang out, go to the Westlake Mall, roll into Ballard, have a blast. Go over to the Space Needle, grab some lunch downtown. The Virginia Inn, such a great little restaurant we used to go to. From the movie Singles. I mean, we loved our city and what it represented, especially for us growing up, Gen X in the 90s. And that last time that we were there, just a couple years ago, there was some march and protests going on and we couldn't get through. We're in our car. I've got my kids in the car and some asshole walks up to our window and starts screaming in our window for us to go kill ourselves. And he was a protesting liberal, purple hair, all that. We didn't even know what was going on. There's absolute madness out there, and it is all, in my opinion, it's all been engineered by powerful people, including our politicians and our media specifically. Do the best you can out there. Really try to take a pause and pay attention to what's really going on in the world, because I don't see an off-ramp, to put it as they said the other day, as Sagar said and Tucker Carlson. I mean, we're looking for it, Ben Shapiro. Ben Shapiro has a great idea. I don't know if it would apply, but these are strange times right now. And I do often pray to my Savior, Jesus Christ, for some sense to fall back into our society, some calm. We are one nation under God. We were supposed to be indivisible. And right now we are absolutely divided. Everybody, thanks again for watching To The Ground Level. Again, you can find us at rumble.com and The Ground Level, Spotify and Apple, basically everywhere you get your podcasts. Thanks again. Please follow, subscribe, and like, leave comments. We're always looking to continue to grow. Thanks again, everybody.